We're continuing to look at what the Lord Jesus Christ taught in the area of prayer. And we move all the way from John 14, where we were last week, to John chapter 15. Just going to look at one verse, but we see again a very important teaching that the Lord gave us in the area of prayer. John chapter 15 and verse number 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. And Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Very short and precise promise that the Lord gives concerning prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We love the prayer promises as we saw last week. Look back, if you would, at John 14. We studied verse 13 and 14. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Just like the promise of John 14, which was repeated twice, we're in John chapter 15. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Those are wonderful prayer promises. But we also notice that with those promises come requirements. And that's what we looked at last week. In John chapter 14, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." And again, last week we talked about the fact that praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean that we tack on to the end of our prayer in Jesus' name, and that fulfills that requirement. When we come in Jesus' name, we come representing Him. We come as a personal envoy of Him. When we come to the Father in the name of the Son, it pleases the Father. It excites Him for us to come in His Son's name. But to come in His Son's name means that we have to have a relationship with Him, not just tack His name on the end of a prayer. Now, we do need to put His name in the prayer because He said, "Ask in my name." We have to come to the Father in the name of the Son. Someone goes overseas as an ambassador. They represent the United States. They're in the place of the president. They have a relationship with Him. They have a closeness. They've been sent by Him. When we come to the Father in Jesus' name, it can't be coming to Him in the name of somebody we don't know, somebody we don't commune with, someone we don't communicate with, spend time with. There's got to be a relationship with the Son before we go to the Father. The reason a lot of prayers are not answered is not because God isn't doing what He can do, but we're not coming in the Son's name. Again, we're saying in Jesus' name, thinking that obligates God to do something. And He says there's more to coming in my name than just repeating the name of Jesus. We find in John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus kind of expands on that relationship that we're supposed to have with Him. To come in His name means that we have to abide in Him and His words abide in us. So we see that closeness is emphasized, that fellowship with the Son is emphasized in John chapter 15 and verse number 7. We're going to call this lesson this morning, Piety for Prayer. Piety. The word piety simply means, according to the dictionary, veneration or reverence accompanied with love. Reverence accompanied with love. When we come in the Son's name, we're coming to the Father reverently and coming in love. There's a closeness, there's a relationship that brings us to Him. A lot of times in our Christian life, prayer is just a function. It's something that we do. It's an obligation we fulfill. Before we eat our food, we bow our heads and pray. When we come to church, we bow our heads. Sometimes during the week, something happens and we bow our head. And it's not because we have a relationship with God or not because we desire closeness. It's because, well, I'm a Christian and that's what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord is telling us there's more to prayer than this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then He says, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There are two, letter A, the realms of piety. There are two realms or areas of piety that verse number 7 tells us about. Two things that we need to fulfill, two requirements we need to fulfill before He gives us whatsoever we shall ask in His name. The first realm of piety when he says, if ye abide in me, is number one, abiding in the Savior. If ye abide in me. Now, abiding is not being in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Salvation is being placed in Christ. When we trust Him as our Savior, when we confess our sins, when we ask Him for forgiveness, He puts us into His body. The Bible describes that in 1 Corinthians. We become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We are one with Christ. We're in Christ. But this verse says, if you abide in me, you can be in Christ and not abiding in Christ. Abiding is, again, emphasizing that relationship day by day. No. Hour by hour? No. Moment by moment. Abiding in Christ. You can be abiding in Christ today and not be abiding in Christ tomorrow. How is it? Well, if His words abide in you, that's one way you know whether Christ is abiding in you. And so abiding is an area that we need to fulfill, to have a good prayer life. We must have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. The better your relationship with someone, the more you feel the freedom to come and ask them something. You don't approach a stranger to ask for something. You don't approach someone that you know halfway with something very close or personal, but someone you're very intimate with, something you're very close with, someone you're very have a relationship with, then you have that relationship you come. That's what abiding in Christ is all about. Small letter A, it speaks of closeness. It speaks of closeness. If ye abide in me. Again, this is not talking about salvation. Salvation is being in Christ, but abiding in Him. Having a day after day after day. It's not like you profess faith in Christ, you pray the sinner's prayer and you mean it and you're sincere and you get saved and you dust yourself off and you say, okay, now I go on with life. And the Lord's not included. There are folks that attempt to do that. So while they're saved or not, I'll leave that between them and God. But they make a profession of faith and then they don't live immoral lives or bad lives, but they just don't have a relationship with God. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians tonight, 1 Corinthians 8, and it's verse 3. If any man love God, the same is known of him. When somebody loves God, people know that that person loves God. Now, if people know that, don't you know the Lord knows it? And He knows whether we're abiding in Him. So it speaks of closeness, being in Him. See, you can be in a family and not have close fellowship with family. I think all of us have experienced that. Something happens and there's a fallout or something in the family. You don't get kicked out of the family, but you don't have a relationship. You don't have fellowship there. There's no closeness. We're in Christ, but there needs to be more than being in Christ. We need to be abiding in Him every day, improving on that relationship we have with Him. And so it speaks of closeness. Small letter B, it speaks of communion. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. I'm talking about communion as in communicating, having a relationship again. It goes farther than just closeness. So you can be close to someone and not necessarily have communion with them. You can sit on a plane and be sitting next to someone. I think it was Brother Darrell was telling me about his last plane trip and the guy he sat down next to didn't want to have anything to do with anybody around him. Didn't want to talk to anybody. You can be sitting next to someone on a bus, a train, a plane, or anything like that, and not have communion. You can have closeness, proximity, but no relationship. So it's not enough just to have closeness with God. We've got to have communion with Him. We've got to have that relationship. We've got to be able to communicate to Him. And that's what prayer is all about, communicating with God. It shouldn't be that we come to God in prayer, God has to say, and I know He doesn't say this because He's God, but who are you again? When we don't come to Him as often as we should, every day, all day long should be communion with Him. That's what abiding in the Savior is all about. And folks, that's a challenge to us as Christians today. To abide in Christ, to have that closeness, to have that communion. Small letter C, it speaks of continuousness. The word abiding, that verb in itself says it's a continuous action. Abiding in Him. And so it's something we need to work on. It's something we need to build upon. A relationship is supposed to grow. Every relationship is supposed to grow. When there's closeness, when there's communion, that relationship will grow. It's continuous communion. Sometimes, sad to say, our relationship with the Lord cools off. We have periods where we're kind of like the roller coaster relationship with God. Sometimes where our heart's just warmed and we feel close to God. Other times when things just cool off. We need to recognize that when we hit those cooling off periods, it's not because God changed or God moved. It's because we did. I've told you the illustration before. It's like the older couple sitting in the front seat of the car, him by his window and her by her window. And she says to him, she said, you know, I remember the days when we were young that we sat close together in the front seat. And he simply looked at her and said, well, I haven't moved. He's still sitting right there behind. She's the one that's gone over there. All right, when our relationship with God cools off, it's not because God's moved. It's because we have allowed ourselves to cool off for God. And that is, can we just be honest and say, that is part of this life. That happens in this life. We don't always stay on fire for God. We're not always close to God. And the Lord is telling us that if we want our prayers answered, we've got to strive to maintain that closeness to God. Again, someone says, well, I've been praying about this and it hasn't been answered. Well, one possibility is because you're not abiding in Christ. You're not close to Him. You don't have, now please don't, anytime somebody comes up to you and says, I've been praying about this and it doesn't happen, take it for granted. It's because they're not abiding in Christ. There are other reasons that prayer doesn't get answered. Sometimes it's not the will of God. Sometimes it's not the timing of God. But we need to recognize personally that sometimes when our prayer isn't answered, it's not because God isn't going to do or can't do or won't do what we want Him to do, but it's simply because we're not abiding in Him. There's no closeness. There's no communion. There's no continuousness. We have to work on our relationship with Jesus Christ every day. We have to work on it every day if we're going to be close to Him. So there's abiding in the Savior. If ye abide in me. That's the first realm. That's the first area of piety. The second one, number two, and my words abide in you. Not only is there abiding in the Savior, but number two, there's abiding in the Scriptures. Abiding in the Scriptures. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Can I say that if you're abiding in Him, His words will abide in you? Because if you're abiding with Him, you're going to desire His Word. You're going to hunger after His Word. You're going to love His Word. So the second area or realm of piety is that we abide in the Scriptures. Notice small letter A then. We have to have affection for the Word. We have to have affection for the Word. Turn, if you would, keep your place there in John, but go back to the book of Psalms. If anyone showed a love for the Word of God, it was the psalmist David. All throughout the Psalms, he talks about his love for God's commandments, his love for God's Word, his love for God's statutes. And David mentions that often. I want you to see it just in Psalm 119. Of course, Psalm 119 is the great chapter on the Word of God. I think it's all but two verses of the 172 make reference to the Scriptures, the commandments, the statutes. Look at Psalm 119 and verse number 97. And notice what David says. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Folks, here's a challenge to our hearts this morning. Can we say with David the words of Psalm 119, verse 97? Can we say to God, God, how I love thy law. Now, the law David's talking about, of course, all he had in writing that he could get his hands on were the five books of Moses, the books of the law. But he's talking about Scriptures. He's talking about God's words. And he says about them, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. Now again, that doesn't mean we can't walk around all day with a Bible in front of us. It's just impossible. We Don't drive and text. Don't drive and read your Bible at the same time. It just isn't safe. But it doesn't mean that we can't be meditating on it all day long. There's the verse. We put the little red books out there that we bought years ago. These little red books are out here, scripture memorization books. And get one of those little red books, and it's got every week 5 verses to memorize for a certain week. And get those and learn one of those verses. And when you're driving, no, you don't have to read your Bible, but when you're driving, instead of listening to the radio and CD player or whatever, work on one of those verses. Just meditate on God's Word. Boy, what a difference it'll make in our relationship with God and our closeness to Him. And that's what David's talking about. How I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Notice verse 113 in this same chapter. He says, I hate vain thoughts, notice, but thy law do I love. David had a love for the Word of God. Now, you and I know, we can cast stones pretty easy. David was not a sinless man. And yet the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And we wonder, how could that be? Well, because David had faults, David had failures, he's human like we, but he had a heart desire for God. It's easy for us to see the humanity side of David, the sinful side of David, but we don't see his spiritual side. The Psalms emphasizes that spiritual side of David. And we see his expressions here. He said, thy law do I love. In his heart, he really had a love for God. If my words abide in you. Look in Psalm 119 at verse 119. The end of the verse, he says again, therefore I love thy testimonies. Again, his testimonies is talking about his word. Verse 127 in this same chapter. He said, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. David loved the Word of God above anything material he could get his hands on. Gold, the highest of the commodities. Gold, the most precious of metals. And yet David said, I love thy commandments more than I love gold. Verse 159. No, I can't read my writing here. Yeah, 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. I love thy precepts. David repeatedly talked about his love for the Word. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. People turn on the television and hear yak, 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 yak. For hours and hours, they'll listen to a bunch of worthless nothing on television. And there's the Bible sitting right there on the stand next to them. And they take all that in, all the talking heads and all the sitcoms and all that kind of stuff, all that stuff that's just empty and vain. And there's the precious Word of God sitting right next to us on the nightstand or the table stand. David said, when it came to those things, he said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And then verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, I love them exceedingly. There he even goes a little farther than just loving them. He says, I love them exceedingly. See, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's not talking about reading our devotional book in the morning and that being the end of our relationship with God. That's not talking about us fulfilling reading so many chapters a day to get through the Bible in a year and then that being the end of our spiritual walk for the day. He's talking about abiding in Him, a continuous action. And He's talking about His Scriptures abiding in us. We have to have affection for the Word. David said, how I love thy law. How I love thy commandments. I love them exceedingly. To abide in the Scriptures, we have to have affection for the Word, small letter B. To abide in the Scriptures, we have to have attentiveness. Attentiveness to the Word. If we're going to abide in Christ and His words abide in us, we have to read the Bible every day. We have to read the Word regularly. But then we have to do a little more. If we really want His words to abide in us, we've got to study it sometimes. We get in a conversation with a lost loved one maybe, or maybe in a conversation with a saved person of a different persuasion on one thing or another, and there's times it's going to drive us back to the Bible to see what we really believe about certain things. And we need to know those things. God didn't send us through here without information. He didn't send us through life without a guidebook. Sometimes we talk to somebody, a lost person, well, I believe in God if this or that, and we say, Lord, give me something from your word that gives me an answer to them. And if we're reading the word, God will show it to us. So there's reading it, there's studying it. And then there's coming to church and hearing it preached and hearing it taught. If we really want His word to abide in us, see, there's a lot of folks that claim, and I've had them tell me this a number of times, claim that they read their Bibles at home, but they don't go to church anywhere. Now, number one, and I know I'm a critic, I'm a skeptic. Number one, I don't buy that they read their Bible every day. And you say, well, you're judging them. Absolutely. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. I'll claim that verse out of Galatians. All right? When someone's giving you that, well, I read it all the time, but I just don't go to church, that doesn't fit together. Because if you're in your Word, you're going to hunger after it. You're going to desire it. You're going to want to learn it. You're going to want to be taught it. And so when we have an attentiveness to the Word, when we read it, when we study it, when we desire to have it taught to us, that gives us answered prayer. When His words abide in us. Again, I would contend that the modern church direction is so askew because folks come in for music that's nothing more than entertaining. They do dramas and they do synchronized dancing and all these different kind of things. And there's no word. There's no Bible teaching. That's all followed up, if there is any, by 5 to 8 minutes of somebody getting up there and really not saying anything. And then they go back to the singing and all that other kind of... And then there's no answered prayer. There's no power in life. There's no abiding in Christ. The abiding's all dependent on the flesh and those things. We need to abide in Him and His words abide in us. We have the attentiveness and then letter C. To abide in the Scripture, we have affection for the Word, attentiveness to the Word, and application of the Word. We have application of the Word. Abiding means obeying. If we're abiding in Christ and His Word is abiding in us, we're going to obey His Word. It's not just a matter of loving His commandments, loving His law, loving them exceedingly, but if we love them, we're going to do them. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so there has to be an application of the Word. Those of us that come to church here, we know this Bible is not antiquated. It's not outdated. It's not old-fashioned. Because every time we look, I mean, even what we're doing this morning, reading from Psalm 119 and looking what the Lord taught in John 15:7, 2,000 years ago, and yet we're seeing that the Bible is applicable to the day we live right now today. It's a supernatural book. It's not like anything else in the world. And it records old, old stories. We study on Wednesday night the Bible characters, studying Eli this past Wednesday night. And when we read about these old, old Bible characters, we find out that their situations and their circumstances and their trials and their victories are exactly like ours today. The Bible's not old-fashioned, antiquated, and outdated. It's applicable for us. And so when we read the Word and study the Word and hear the Word, now the Bible says, be not hearers of the Word only, but be doers of the Word. And so there has to be an application of it. See, God didn't say, ask what you will and I'll do it for you. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Those are the requirements in these two areas of piety. All right? Abiding in the Savior, if you abide in me. Abiding in the Scriptures and my words abide in you. Then ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So those are the realms of piety. Letter B. The results of piety. The results. If we abide in the Savior, if we abide in the Scriptures, then the promise is, Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The benefits, the results of abiding in Him, and His words abiding in us. The first benefit, number one, is faithfulness in prayer. Faithfulness in prayer. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, He said, ye shall ask. Ye shall ask what you will. If you're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in you, you will ask. It will be a natural result. It'll be a natural outpouring of abiding in Christ and His words abiding in us. When we abide in Him and His words that abide in us, we have an open line of communication, and it's a close communication. It's a personal communication. And when that line is open, we will ask. So having that relationship, the benefit of it, the result of it, is we are going to ask in His name. We're not gonna hold back. Abiding is the condition for asking. And asking is the consequence of abiding. That kind of seems like a tongue twister there. Abiding is the condition for asking. If we're going to ask, we've got to abide. Abiding is the condition for asking. But asking is the consequence of abiding. If we're abiding, then we're going to ask. They're locked together. They go hand in hand. If we're abiding in Christ, we're going to pray. A lack of prayer life really is a confession that we're not abiding in Christ. And I'm not talking about confession to anybody else, a confession to God. The fact that we don't communicate with Him daily and regularly is a confession that we are not abiding in Christ. Now, we can fool others, we can fool other people, we can fool anybody else, but we can't fool God. He knows whether we're abiding in Him. And He makes a condition for answered prayer, our faithfulness in prayer. And if we're abiding in Him, we're going to be faithful. Number two, if we're abiding in Him, we're going to have a fervency in prayer. A fervency in prayer. Ye shall ask what you will. Ye shall ask. Now we know the Bible tells us that we're supposed to approach Him humbly. We studied a couple weeks ago the prayer of that Pharisee. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. He was pious. He was egotistical. And then the publican smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The difference between coming before God arrogantly and coming before God humbly. We know we need to come humbly, but that doesn't mean we have to come passively. See, James chapter 5, verse 16, we know the scripture. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed as it were great drops of blood. That's an effectual, fervent prayer. He said, preacher, you mean when I pray, I'm supposed to pray so fervently that I sweat? Wouldn't do any harm to have that kind of effectual, fervent prayer. And I don't know that Elijah did when he shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. I don't know, but I know he had a fervency in his prayer. And the Bible tells us that when we have that abiding in Christ and His words abiding us, we will have that fervency. We will ask. Number three, a result of piety, when we have that relationship with Him, we will have freedom in prayer. Freedom in prayer. Notice what He says in verse 7. If you abide in Me and My words in you, ye shall ask what ye will. You know, when you're close to someone, nothing's off limits. When you really know somebody, when somebody's a close personal friend, you can talk about anything. You don't have to stick to the weather. You know, when you're meeting somebody you don't know, how about them Yankees? Aren't these mashed potatoes creamy? You know, you're little conversations with strangers, somebody you don't know. But the more you know someone, you open up every realm and every area of conversation. You can talk about anything you want to. And as we are abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in us, we can come to Him about anything. Ye shall ask what ye will. There's no restrictions on what we can talk to God about. Oh, well, God's not interested in that. Well, God didn't want to hear about that. No, if we're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in us, we can talk to Him about anything. Lord, I've got a toothache. There's nothing off limits. Financial needs, physical needs, family needs, whatever it might be. Everything. We've got the freedom to come with Him in anything you will. The more comfortable the conversation, the more we can talk about anything we want to. And when we're abiding in Christ, we have that kind of a relationship. And then number four, the results of piety. Number four, fruitfulness. Fruitfulness in prayer. You shall ask what you will. And here's that promise. This is what we're waiting for. Here's what we're hanging on for. It shall be done unto you. That's the fruitfulness. If we're abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in us, we'll have faithfulness in prayer, fervency in prayer, freedom in prayer, and fruitfulness in prayer. Jesus promises. Jesus guarantees it shall be done unto you. Again, how many times do we have someone say, well, I've been praying about that and God just doesn't answer. That can be a confession that we're not abiding in Christ. And His words are not abiding in us. When we abide in Christ and His words abide in us, He said, you shall ask what ye will. Now someone will look at that promise and say, oh, that means God will give me anything I want. No, when we abide in Him, our will becomes His will. His will becomes our will. Back in Proverbs or Psalm 37, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. See, a lot of people take the second half of that promise. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And they forget the first part, delight thyself also in the Lord. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, our will becomes His will. His will becomes our will. They become one. The same thing about if we're abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in us, we can ask what we will because our will become His will. And His will becomes our will. And then it shall be done unto you. The problem of unanswered prayer many times is simply our abiding. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When we are struggling with unanswered prayer, the first thing we need to do is go back before God and say, God, is my relationship with you not the way it ought to be? And again, I guess we're never going to say it is what it ought to be, but it'll challenge us. It'll behoove us to have a greater relationship with Him. We'll abide in Him. We'll have closeness and communion and continuousness. Lord, am I not into Your Word enough? Are Your words not in me enough? Do I need to shut more of the world out and get more of You in? Because when that happens, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When we abide in Him and His words abide in us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we thank You. This very short, very concise verse in John chapter 15. And Lord, we just kind of pulled it out this morning.